Alan.
Grez.
Here, and welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on a podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast, where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Grizz.
And I'm L.
And you are listening to Rise of the Robots. Today we are covering Robot Wars Season 6, the semi-final, Episode 1.
Yeah. Ugh.
Okay. Take two.
I am very ill. No, fuck it. Keep it like that. I don't care.
Okay. Yeah. Less said then.
I've had a fun week. One, I'm sick. Two, I was cat sitting. So I actually ended up having to watch on YouTube. And I actually have, and here's something you won't hear very often in this podcast, paper notes!
Paper notes. Waft them into the... I was about to say the camera. Waft them into the mic. Nope. Can't hear it.
I think the pop filter's stopping it. Just a
boo.
Boo pop filters.
Well, as is tradition with when one of us is ill when we record episodes, let's make haste and try and cut out some of the jibber-jabber we normally do.
Yep.
So
both these episodes do cut out a lot of the jibber jabber. Actually, of all the series we've done so far, because obviously right, spoiler alert, Alan's going to be sick for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's just planned to have a long-term cold for 3 weeks.
But I think out of all the semi-finals and finals, this is one of the tighter of the three episodes together.
Yeah, like, they've really done a lot of, like, almost like they've looked at past seasons and went, right, what's made, like, why was this so long for no reason? And then they managed to fill it in with some decent, like, kind of stuff. Because I thought these three episodes were a real breeze to get through.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So... we'll start off today's episode with the still defending champion, Razor, taking on Wild Thing. So, from Bournemouth and Dorset. Or is it in Dorset? So, I'll say both, and then yous in your head listening at home can just splice in the correct one, and that way everybody's right and I don't look like an idiot, more so than usual. From Bournemouth and Dorset. From Bournemouth in Dorset. Razor.
Who are definitely going in this with a heap of momentum.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you look at the undefeated streak they've had going. I think it might actually be the longest undefeated streak that any robot has had in Robot Wars history.
Yeah, because it's like, it's undefeated as in flat-out undefeated, even side events, like... extreme, like, even Chaos 2, like, lost in the, you know, the World Championship, and so that kind of put his undefeated streak to an end, but, like, he still maintained the UK streak.
So, basically, since their two losses to Pussycat in Series 4 and in Extreme Series 1,
mm-hmm.
So any match they've had since Pussycat in Extreme Series 1, which I think was like the second episode, they have not lost a match since.
Yeah.
And that's a, you know, that, so at this point that is...
one, I think they said two, something four, around 20-odd matches.
Yeah, at the start of this, there were 18.
Right. Yes, I think it was maybe in the final or something like that. They had mentioned it was something around 20 odd.
Which, yeah.
Well, because they'd brought up the statistics themselves, and I think almost jinxed themselves. And their opponent from Ash, Wild Thing.
Yes. So Wild Thing is very much
dull.
Yeah, it
lost everything that was charming about it.
Yes, and I think if the weapon had been effective,
mm-hmm.
I think it would have been worth it.
Yeah, see, if it was a big chunky weapon, like, I'll give them some credit. See, Tornado's big chunky like spinner weapon. See if they had something like that.
Well,
like,
even Tornado's smaller weapon is 13 kilos. It's still a heavy piece of machinery.
But Wild Thing is just this thin disc, and it just doesn't look as if it's ever done any real damage.
I mean, we find out exactly how little damage it can do, because you hear it hitting Razor.
Uh-huh.
And you can just hear the sort of...
ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. It's going scraping Razor, which... Razor has many strengths. Its armor is not one of them.
Mm-hmm. And so if you can't pierce that... Like, I mean, to go back to the Pussycat fights, the way that, like, Razor came out of the Pussycat fight and it had holes all over it, and that's from, like... Granted, it's a special kind of, like, saw that Pussycat has, but, like, yeah, they were all carved up after that fight. So, yeah, as you say, Razor not exactly having the thickest armor in the game, so for Wild Thing not be able to cut through that, yeah, like,
and
it's...
Because it's not able to challenge Razor in a way that puts it under threat, it just becomes kind of generic Razor match.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem, is when they're not facing someone really devastating, they do start to get a bit...
Point by numbers.
Yeah. I mean, literally, the only reason I think that the matches actually have anything really happening is I'm sure there must be something in the rules. You can't grip an opponent for a certain length of time.
Yeah. I think that there was always the kind of unwritten rule of that. Like, if you're going to grip somebody, you need to release, like, at some point. Because, like, Razor does keep doing that. So, like, after a pinch, it'll hold them for a second, but then let them go, uh-huh. and then just go right back to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't start off very well when Wild Thing drives into the arena and almost, you know, high centers itself because it drives into the wall and almost, like lands on its own back.
Yeah.
And then, yep, as you say, it's just kind of generic Razor match. It grabs Wild Thing, like, right off the bat and gets Wild Thing right on, like, the crease and just pops, like, a side off in the first 10 seconds of the fight. And then it just kind of continues on that way. But the most devastating part is obviously when Razor finally grabs a tire.
Oh!
And pops the tire. And so... After it lets go of Wild Thing, after that, you can just see how lopsided Wild Thing is trying to get around with this tire that's just completely gone.
And particularly when they've only got two wheels as well.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we don't find this out until later. The robot's on fire!
Yes. we cut to them outside after this fight, and literally, one of the lads from the Pussycat team, and he's just like, yeah,
well, it's total... Alan Gribble, because by this point, Alan Gribble's working as a producer.
Ah, well, there you go.
Because that's, I know it's the same, well, obviously, by this point, that David was sadly no longer with us.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not until I actually looked at him, oh yeah, that's right, Pussycat wasn't in this series.
I did not even notice.
So I think the robot shows up again in Extreme 2 and Series 7.
Yeah, yeah. But in Series 7, it's definitely the new team.
Yeah, yeah, it's a new team.
Yeah, like, they're like, oh, we could probably get this sort of working again, but I don't think we're going to have a weapon. Like, we could probably go in.
I mean, do they have a weapon to start with?
I mean, yeah. If your weapon was, you know, relatively useless to begin with. Like, does it really matter?
I actually would be very interested to see how old school Wild Thing would have done with improvements. But oh well.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there are two more first round matches.
Yes. So yes, Razor won, in case you couldn't tell. From Leicester, 13 Black.
Which, yeah, double disc design, certainly one of the more unique robots. It's very clear that one of the gimmicks that they've come up with this robot, they've not really perfected yet.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm. And from Durham, Firestorm 4.
Where's this Firestorm been? Because if Firestorm had been like this in every series, I'd actually like them.
What do you mean by that?
Like, every other series of Robot Wars has seen Firestorm, they've looked a bit awkward. They've not been, you know, they've not really driven aggressively. They've scraped a lot of battles.
Mm.
And then when they've come up against a quality opponent, they've actually kind of been shown up. I mean, it's a bit like, pretty much, I don't think Firestorm turned up in Series 5 until they fought Razor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if you'd fought like you fought against Razor the entire championship, I would actually really like this robot. And I like the way that they've been driving in Series 6. I don't know what it is that they're suddenly driving a lot more aggressively.
Okay, I feel you.
Yeah,
because you've definitely like not been the most hype on Firestorm over the past couple of seasons. I can say that for
weird,
a fact.
Which is weird because I like, you know, I like the team.
Mm-hmm.
And I like I actually like the robot. I think it's a very efficient design. I do think its flipper flips the wrong way, but I can see, you know, I'm not an expert, and well, if the Eruption team's new robot is that type of flipper, obviously it has some advantages.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I always appreciate the few flipper bots that have the flipper going the opposite direction.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not exactly the best thing for an UTA, but the fact that Firestorm in his career has at least had a couple, like, goes to show that it can be done.
Yeah.
So this match, like, honestly, like, see, a lot of these matches tend not to take very long.
No, which is the other thing that's weird, that it's the time's really efficient, that it kind of doesn't feel like there's any wasted motion.
Mm-hmm. So, like, almost right away, 30 Black gets flipped by Firestorm.
Yep.
And then you can see Firestorm is trying so hard to get the UTA, and so much so that it gets itself stuck on the wall. And so the ref bot comes in, helps them both. Like, 13 Black claims it can run upside down, which in technicality it kinda can.
Yeah.
But Firestorm gets stuck on the wall, and for a brief second I was like, hold on a second here. Is 13 Black gonna like sneak a victory by being technically able to run upside down while Firestorm's stuck in the wall? So Riftbot comes, takes Firestorm off the wall, and then Firestorm goes, no, I like wall.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Sorry, Bobo. When I screamed, no, I like wall, Belle like, stuck her head up. She's like,
what about wall? What about me?
I'm trying to sleep here. I've only been sleeping all day and all night.
But yeah, it's this kind of bizarre thing of like, no, you're being silly, get off the wall. No!
Yeah. So they help them again, and then Firestorm still tries to go for the UTA, and kind of just gets 13 Black stuck in the grinder, and they went, that'll do.
Yeah, there's always like, yeah, that's fine, that, okay.
Yeah, so like, I know like sometimes like I kind of bitch about when like house robots like interfere and robots being stuck against the wall, but this is one of those few times where I'll allow it, because I would think it would be quite unfair if Firestorm was to lose this fight when it already technically knocked out 13 Black.
Yeah.
Because, well, as we alluded to,
It wouldn't
be. Obviously, there are other fights where a team had it won and then they were just stupid.
Yeah, definitely. But I like. While I can see where you're coming from, 13 Black, you're not running upside down.
Not yet. I mean, obviously, it's something that this team does develop over time. But yeah, it's kind of just flailing.
Yeah, it's like a turtle that's stuck on its back. It's like, yeah, there's still movement, but it's still stuck on its back.
Yeah. Anyway, after these two matches, which were, let's be honest, over very quickly, I'm sure the next fight will not be. It'll be a long, drawn-out battle.
I honestly thought this one probably had potential to be the quickest, but not in the reasons that it ended up being.
Yes. So,
from Leicester, S3.
Which, weirdly, I think kind of gets forgotten about a little bit.
Same.
When you actually look at the... I do think Firestorm is probably the most kind of... It was never included as one of the pillars when it should have been. This robot's pretty high up there as well.
Yeah, I would agree. And the fact that, like, I don't even remember how this kind of match went. And the fact, like, who won it, like, it kind of goes to show that, like, I instantly just, like, kind of was like, ack, well, they clearly don't win here.
Uh-huh.
So S3 gets, like, one good hit right
against
to start.
Who? Against
oh,
two.
Yes. From, sorry, Danton Makaia.
Danton Makaia.
It's not what the announcer said.
Yes, but it is named after three children, one of whom is not called Kaya.
Depends on who you ask.
Anyway.
S3 gets the first good hit in, and then DTK is just driving like an absolute madman. And then goes bonk right into the wall.
Uh-huh. And at first you're like, oh, that's...
Oh, it's stuck.
That's nasty. Hey, RefBot, give us a hand. Mm-hmm. And RefBot gives him a hand. And then just as RefBot pushes him out, you go, that just freewheeled?
Yeah, that's a dead bot right there.
Oh.
Because, I mean, it is very badly wedged. In there as well. It takes them a lot of time to get DTK out. Uh-huh. And it was also that kind of thing of like, S3, you literally had an open opportunity to go at the back of DTK and you didn't take it.
To be fair, that would probably have been a bit dirty.
Mm-hmm. At that point, when it was stuck under the grinder, you couldn't tell. It was Schrodinger's robot. Like, you couldn't tell if it was alive or dead.
Uh-huh.
So, at that point, like, this wouldn't be, like, the whole Razor Pussycat situation of, oh, they were damaging us while we were immobile. Like, at that point, you were stuck. You could have still been mobile, but just stuck.
Yeah.
Like, so, I don't know. I think, like, S3 maybe... Like, I mean, it won because after the match, the Danton Makaia team said, yeah, we hit the wall so hard that our link fell out.
Which, I know that's, they've said that before, like, our team has had that thing. Yeah, it's just, they've just hit at the wrong speed at the wrong time. And wow. By definition, you know, these robots, the link has to be able to come out fairly easily.
Mm-hmm. But speed also kills the robot.
Yep. Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Grizz and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online, YouTube. That's just search for Technoax.
That's Technoax spelled TekNoAxe.
So we've got three and through to the next round, but we need four. And I will admit, like, I'm not a fan of this in any sport. You get the second chance match.
Which, fair enough. I mean, it saves them 4 weeks in production.
I know, but I don't know.
And also, I don't know that there would necessarily be, you know, That's four series of eight. That's 32 robots you have to pull out of somewhere.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if more than enough to make, you know, a 16 robot bracket. Or wait, what would it be at this point? Yeah, well, it was six heat winners and six heat winners, so that's 12.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it would be 16, yeah, if we had four more. I would imagine that well more than 32 other robots applied for this. I mean, obviously,
I don't know if it would be 32 good robots.
Yeah, but still.
Well, one of them might have been Arnold Terminator.
Yes. Ah. And he probably would have been in the semifinals easily. Mm-hmm. So, yep, we're on to our three. I mean, it's a good fight. It's 13 Black, Wild Thing, and Dan Tomokaya.
And Wild Thing's already hurting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they said the entire time that they were going to go into this match hurting. And it shows. So we get an Insane Clown Posse album reference right off the bat when JP starts talking about the missing link. Any opportunity for me to talk about Insane Clown Posse is opportunity I'm going
to
take.
I'm too sick to chase you off, though.
One thing that I'd never noticed before, 13 Black on their little work table, they have, like, the roulette kind of padding or whatever, the little carpety thing.
Yeah.
It's just a nice added little touch to their gimmick.
So, I actually had a list here. So, Wild Thing has panic attack batteries, a tornado wheel, and most of the repairs were done by George Francis. I do think it's nice as well, because by the sound of it, George Francis has stuck around, because this was done... So, this was filmed way before Extreme Series 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, this will have been, I imagine, towards the end of the event.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, that's probably the thing. Like, when you're someone like George Francis, whose robot was obviously quite notorious for going deep into a competition, like, he probably booked the entire time off.
Well, and I think he's self-employed, but yeah, I get your meaning.
I know, but like, just set the time aside to be like, oh well. Like, and then when he gets put out in like the heats of when he gets put out in the final of his heat, he's like, huh, well, I suppose I still have all this time I put aside. I may as well just hang out.
Also, I get the impression, obviously, so without going into too much detail, Kim Davies, George Francis, and Alan Gripple effectively become, I don't know what you'd call them, the
backstage hands, for lack of a better
to
word.
To use a wrestling term, road agents?
Yeah.
Producers?
Yeah.
And I think it tells when you see that some of the changes made to the rules.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, maybe he was already, you know, cutting his teeth a wee bit, like, this season.
Uh-huh.
Since he was knocked out so early, and maybe that's what made him make the decision to do it full-time for the next season.
Yep.
Because, I mean, even you listen to his interviews, and even, like, back in the end of, like, Series 4 and all that, like, he was still kind of talking about how, like, Chaos 2 started to get a bit tired. Series 5, sorry. I forgot what series we were on. Series 5. Like, it was saying, yeah, Chaos 2 is starting to get a bit tired, and it kind of went to show in this season when he got knocked out so quickly.
Yeah.
But anyway, this match, again, still not a very long match, and it just goes completely to hell, like, almost in seconds. Danto Mikai gets a few flips, and then, like, just this weird part where all three of them are in the corner. 30 Black gets flipped, and then Wild Thing is also there, and Wild Thing just gets, like, flipped up onto the wall.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just, like, all three of them in the corner, and it's just DTK just, like, just CO2 just pshht everywhere. And then Dead Mel comes in and is like, I don't even know what to do here. I've got a buffet.
So, Wild Thing then spontaneously drives into the pit as it's lowering.
Yep.
And 13 Black is crawling away on its discs. And DTK at first tries an Uta, but obviously their gas is running down.
Mm-hmm.
And then towards the end,
well, like, 13 Black does his little upside down dance, and then DTK comes up next to it and starts dancing with it.
Yeah, the two of them do like an in stereo spin. Yeah,
that was very cute. Yep, and then DTK actually flips 13 Black back over because it's not been counted out, because I guess, like, they're also saying, all right, well, if it's actually moving, it is making its way across the arena, sometimes very slowly, but still, it's not counted as immobilized yet. So it gets flipped back over, and then this is the point of deja vu, apparently, because that's what I've wrote in my notes instead of deja vu. DTK gets stuck under the exact same grinder again.
Yes! And it's this bizarre thing. Yeah, it gets jammed in the wall, and then once it gets out, 13 Black is back on its feet, and it hits with a nasty hit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you actually hear the impact, you're like, oh.
Yeah, it was one of these things where it's like, I mean, you probably could have just tried to get 13 Black in the pit when it was on its head, but you were just trying a bit too hard to get that out of there, and it was like you almost cost yourself. Like, not long after that, we go to the judges, and DTK does take it, but there was a moment there where, like, I thought maybe 13 Black might have snuck it. Obviously, if, like, the same thing happened and DTK knocked itself out again, that would have been a real heartbreaker. But, like, the fact that, you know, it's had, like, let's say, what, 5-6 fights at this point, and somehow manages to do the tape this yeah, somehow manages to do the same thing twice in two fights. That's quite impressive in a weird way.
Yep, absolutely.
So Danton Makaya advances back into the tournament.
Yep. Though their future is looking very
stabby.
It's on a razor's edge.
Oh, okay, that was better. But first, we have Firestorm versus S3.
And this fight does not go anywhere near as long as I expected.
No.
So Firestorm's very aggressive, rams S3 into the wall, so hard the wall breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Then rams them into another wall, and there's this whipping, so it gets it stuck up on the grinder. And then you notice that Firestorm's just kind of waiting there, and you're like,
Did it die?
Did it die? And then as S3 falls back onto Firestorm, you realize,
no. Tactics.
It was a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So they then flip them again, and it draws the blade over the top of the wall.
And then there was this awkward, weird moment where everything just kind of stops as you realise S3's getting pulled over by its own disc.
Yeah.
It looks like, if you've ever seen, sorry for a wrestling reference, but when you ever see someone who's botched being thrown off the top rope, and they have to basically pull themselves over?
Yeah. It's just, like, the, in my notes, I put, it was defeated by its own design, and watching it back there, I just, in my head, hear the running gag from Family Guy whenever, like, Cleveland gets his house, like, bashed in and he's in the bath.
No!
Because it was just the way that it was, like, it was so slow. It took so long. It was just like, it was just nothing they could have done at that point.
Yep.
Well, away you go out. So they mention that they may come back with a new robot because S3 is also getting pretty tired. But the fact that they have went from their old robots to, like, a robot like this is, it goes to show that they're going in a good direction. I honestly can't remember if S3 even comes back next series or
shows up in Extreme 2.
I think we've asked this before. Is Extreme 2 like filmed like right after this?
Yes. I mean, they're referencing, I think Extreme 2 is obviously its last of the BBC 2 series.
Yeah.
And the 7th War is obviously recorded at a different time because they have a bunch of people who turn up in Extreme 2 do not turn up in Series 7.
Mm-hmm. That's going to be the interesting kind of thing to try and see who shows up in Extreme that doesn't show up in the next season.
Well, I think they're separate recording sessions.
Yeah, I know. It's because, like, obviously, if Extreme 2 is recorded with Series 6, you're going to get most of the people from this. But, like, I just mean, like,
It's all recorded with Series 6 because they make reference to the Series 6 final the next time Razor and
his opponent.
Yes.
Yes.
Fight each other.
Yeah. But just, like, because of, like, the distance of time that's happened between Extreme 2 and Series 7, it's just going to be interesting to see, like, who are we literally going to be seeing the last fights of and not going to realize until we get through Season 7 and go, oh yeah, they weren't there. But I digress. The final match of the night, Razor versus Danton Micaiah. Can the insane run of DTK continue? Spoilers, no.
No, because they can't physically get under Razor.
Yeah. Like, this was the quintessential Razor match, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
The only kind of impressive thing is the fact that, like, DTK's armament, yeah, there you go, JPism, is actually so strong that it really withheld a lot of the crushability factor of Razor. And it went the distance. There's not too much to talk about in the match because it was just Razor scooping up DTK, crushes it a little, lets it go, scoops up again, crushes it again, and then just kind of takes it under Mr. Psycho's hammer once. But other than that, the only real bit of offense that DTK got in on Razor was it managed to push Razor into Sir Kill a lot at one point, and that was it. That was, like, the only thing that DTK managed to get in this fight. But yeah, it goes to the judges, and at least Danton Micaiah went the distance. And came out still looking relatively strong. It didn't look, you know, sometimes you get people that fight Razor and they come out the match in a judge's decision, but you look at it and go, well, look at the state of the thing. Like, DTK didn't look that bad.
No, it didn't. Absolutely not.
But with that, that's the first semi-final. So
Razor and Firestorm are... Razor and
Firestorm.
So two robots that, quite frankly, look, if you started the episode and said, who are the two getting to the grand final, those are the two you'd have picked.
Mm-hmm.
No disrespect to Dan, Tom, Kaya. Kia. Whatever. Whatever. Shut up.
So, do we have a little something-something?
We do have some trivia.
Go on.
Danton Kia was the first newcomer of the semi-finals since Series 4.
Nice.
The second round lineup breaks the usual trend that the winner of the loser's melee would fight the winner of the third first-round battle, which here would have been S3. With Danton Kia fighting Razor, who'd won the first battle, instead... This was presumably to prevent the same robots fighting twice straight away, as S3 had just beaten Dan Tom Kia.
Hmm.
Also, it would have meant we'd have got Razor versus Firestorm again, which would have been a brutal match, but...
I know, but to be honest, I kind of would have wanted to see S3 versus Razor.
It'd been interesting to have Well, no, those two fought previously, didn't they?
I don't know. You know what? I'll take a look.
I'm fairly sure they fought in Series 5. So this semi-final marks the final appearance of Wild Thing. In this semi-final, three robots returned for Series 7, and three did not compete in the next war. This also happened with the other semi-final, not counting Dominator 2 and Terahertz, because that's complicated. Craig Charles was quoted Chaos 2 as the fourth seed whilst interviewing the Dan Pulp Gear team after their loss to Razor.
Yes, they did fight last year.
Yes. The loser's melee in this semi-final featured two robots with spinning weapons and one with a flipper, whilst the other semi-final's melee contained two flippers and a spinner. Yeah, we're definitely past the spinner meta in this era.
Yeah, now the flipper meta's back.
I don't think that's the meta, quite frankly.
Mm. Well, like, DTK was definitely doing it justice, though.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, that is the first semi-final, and we will get on to the next semi-final next week.